Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, Shirley, what number was that Walk by Faith? Remember that song? What number is it in the chorus book? Oh, okay. Because that's what I need right now. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. Well, I'm just going to ask everyone to bear with me. I feel like the Lord's given me, and I'm hoping something worthwhile to share for everyone that would maybe be listening in via the internet or those that are here. I pray that you would bear with me as I make my second attempt to teach or preach or whatever you want to call it, maybe stumbling around here. But I'm going to do the best I can. The name of the message today is Psalm 23 Revisited. Jesus is the True Shepherd. It's the Lord's given me a lot of material, a lot of information, and I just pray that the Lord would be gracious to me to help me bring it forth the way He would want me to. So, I'm going to do the best I can. Psalm 23, just before we go into it in detail, I want to read it. But before I do that, I need to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I praise Your holy name, O God. I know that we can do nothing without You. We would have not ears to hear, nor eyes to see without Your help, nor a heart to understand without Your grace. I pray, Father God, now that You would give us strength, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand all things that You would show us. Give us greater discernment, O God. I pray that You would use this for Thy glory and for Thy purpose, O God. And I pray that I would also stand, O Lord, ready to receive any rebuke or criticism that would come my way if I should do or say something that does not line up with the Word of God. And I humble myself before You right now, O Lord God in heaven. Pray that You would help me to do all that is right and good in Thy sight. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Psalm 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Mike, would you be gracious to give me my water over there in my bag? Right there, yeah, thanks. I've been struggling here. Thank you. Okay. Praise God. I wanted to read, before we begin this, there is something that struck me as very relevant. And it's in Ezekiel 34, verse 4. It says, "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." The Lord was talking about all those rulers and all those shepherds and priests who, in the days of old, as we even see today, who have ruled people with the iron fist, who have ruled people and lorded over them, who have been cruel and mean-spirited, thoughtless, who could care less about the needs and the wants and the desires of those things that people have need of, and whether it be spiritual or physical, food, water, clothing, comfort, all of those things that the Lord would want us to be emissaries of, to be a direct link from what the Lord truly wanted us to be something and someone who could glorify God by the way we talk and the way we act, by the way we live, by the way we come together, and by the way we talk to each other with respect, with love, with honor. The Lord would want us to prefer others before ourselves. And I think that that's missing today. It was missing then, and it's missing now. And what we need truly is to have the heart of the Lord living in us and through us. What we truly need today is to be submitted and yielded unto the Lord God, our Father. To walk with humility in such a manner and in such a way that we would forget who we are, forget our own needs, but rather think about the needs of others. When we pray, when we seek God's face, when we, in the night watches, we contemplate and we think and we wonder, "Lord, how can I be a blessing? How can I do this and how can I do that for people? What can I do, Lord, to make someone's life a little easier? How can I stand in the gap and how can I do this and do that for someone? How can I come together with others like-minded? And how can we come together and be a blessing for someone who might have needs? Whether it be buying groceries or it might be buying food or clothing or just helping someone around the house or helping somebody build or helping somebody fix a car or do whatever the Lord would have us to do. I think today that is sadly lacking. What I do see are so-called shepherds, priests, who are in it for themselves, who want their glory. And God said, "Glory I will not share with another." The Lord does not desire, nor is He willing, to give glory to another who stands in a pulpit, who stands in a bully pulpit, trying to feed people a bunch of you-know-what that does not have the hand of God written upon it as approval. No. The Lord wants us to be a conduit, a direct link to His Spirit, reaching out to others. Our job here on earth is to glorify God, to die to ourselves, to die to the flesh, die to the world, to die to all those desires, all those things, all those wants, whether it be in our words, our thoughts, our actions. Truly, without that, we don't know what true salvation is. We don't even know who we are. But God can help us, and God will help us and show us, lead us and guide us in the right way, if we will only yield unto the true shepherd. The true shepherd being Jesus Christ. John chapter 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. In other words, what's happening is the Lord said that He is the good shepherd, and He knows His sheep by name, and I am known of mine. My question here is, do we know God, and does He know us? How do we know? How can we tell? Where do we go from here? Well, the Lord never wants us to give up. The Lord never, ever wants His sheep to give up. We might feel lost. We might not feel His presence. We might not know for sure directions, what to do, where to go, this or that happening in our lives. But I will say that if we lean not on our own understanding, He will lead and guide us. He will help us. And it says, I wrote down some things here. A shepherd is a pastor of a church. An elder or deacon is a shepherd within the body of believers of Christ. A shepherd is a husband, or a husband is a shepherd to his wife. Parents are shepherds to their children. Anyone who in any way leads others is a shepherd who is responsible for the care of another. A shepherd is willing to lay down his life for that of another. He should know them by name. And the Lord went out of His way to acknowledge people by name. And when you look at David, the shepherd boy, he protected the sheep from lions and bears and wolves. He was willing to give his life, much the same way we ought to give our lives. We ought to think about how we can protect others, how we can come to the aid of those who are in a position where their lives are somehow in danger, they're hurt, they're maimed, whether it be mentally or physically or spiritually. What are we going to do as Christians? How are we going to come to their aid? How are we going to stand in the gap unless we move forward by faith and act? We must believe. The Bible says only believe. Exodus chapter 33:17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I shall not want. John 21:15-17. Before I go there, it says there, as a Christian, we are fed from the Word of God. He feeds us the bread of life. And who is that bread of life? That is Jesus. And when we talk to others, what are we feeding them? Are we feeding them our opinions that mean nothing at all? Or are we feeding them words of life and health and healing, encouragement? What are we doing? Jesus Himself is our bread and water in that He supplies all that we have need of. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. No lack shall not suffer want to them that fear and trust and seek His kingdom first. That's just something I wrote after. And that is so true. If we will just seek the Lord, seek His kingdom first, and we shall not want any good thing. Malachi chapter 3:10, 12. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. It's interesting to me that the Lord mentions delightsome land. Well, what is a land? Well, that land is there to be tilled. The Lord mentions, what was that verse I'm thinking of here? I think it's in Isaiah, Jeremiah, where he talks about plowing up, what is that? Fallow land, ground, plow up your fallow land. I will have to look that up. I just can't think of the name right now. I've got, what is that? Break up your fallow ground. That's how it went. Yeah, praise God. Thank you for that. So, the Word of God, you know, in here, in verse 12, it talks about a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. What makes it a delight is when we are able to break up our fallow ground. That the Lord could make that soil good soil, rich, deep, not full of thorns and weeds and roots and this and that, but the type of ground that God can use, where He can plant, and where good seed will go into the soil and grow. That's the kind of land, a delightsome land, that the Lord is talking about. That's the kind of land that He wants us to become, fruitful. The fields are ripe unto harvest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Divine presence gives rest, is what I feel this is saying. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In Isaiah 14:3, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. I remember as I was living in Georgia and I was going through many, many trials and many tribulations and many issues in my life. Oh boy. And I remember one day, towards the end, well, it actually happened several times. I began receiving this for about a year. And then finally, the time came where I was able to move here. But before then, the Lord kept giving me this verse. I would open the Word of God, and I'm not a real big believer in just opening the Word randomly and putting your finger on a verse. It happens, and God can use that from time to time, but I truly believe that a person should just really seek the face of God and seek His direction, and He'll speak to you. He'll help you. He'll lead you. But I kept opening the Bible to Isaiah 14:3, and I knew that what is real rest? Divine rest. His presence. It's a place where you can go and serve God and rest in the Holy Ghost. It's a place where He can use you. It's a place where you can find where you truly know Him. You hear His voice. It's a place where you can go and you commune, and He abides with you and you abide with Him. That's rest. God will help us if we will only yield. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I think of the beautiful scenery of what it must be like, and the different reports even of our dear old Sister Whitman who passed on, and I remember the story Pastor had talked about there, and how that she was on her deathbed, and that when she died, and she didn't have any friends, she didn't have any relatives left, but just a few friends came to see her from church, and how they went in there and sat and were stunned that she was gone, and the covers were pulled over her, and how that all of a sudden she rolled the covers back and sat up straight in her bed. And she said, "I just had to come back and tell you how beautiful it is over there. The beautiful rivers, the open fields. How beautiful. Oh, you have to see it. But I've got to go back now. So bye." And then she laid back down and she was gone. That was it. I remember that story so well, and remember how that touched me one day as I was going for a walk and listening to one of those tapes or CDs. And that just thrilled me to know that God would be so merciful and gracious to send somebody like that back to encourage others. Isn't that neat? And I think about, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now that is real rest. That is true peace. To lay down and to relax. I picture the tall grass around me. I picture the flowing of a river or a lake nearby. Blue sky, trees out yonder. And I know that in many ways, the Lord wants us to feel His presence in that way. But the Lord gives us those blessings. It's almost what I would consider a type and a shadow of the Lord's presence in many ways. Divine presence gives rest. Exodus 33:13-14. Moses speaking, "Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, in God speaking, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Wow. Well, the presence of God gives rest. I know that when I was younger, I used to find these tracks on the street or in a restaurant, and I'd pick them up, and I'd go home and I'd read the tracks, and I remember how that I would just say, "Lord, I want that. I want to be like that one day." And I remember many, many, many times, even way back in North Dakota where I was born, and living in that town, and how that I would find these tracks, and I would lay there in my bed and read these tracks and say, "Oh Lord, how I want that." And then I remember many times that even in my youth growing up, that I just felt this presence. And I didn't know the Lord yet. I don't know that I knew Him at all, really, at that point yet. But I felt His presence. I felt like I was walking on air many times. I felt this undergirding and this presence and this comfort many times. In fact, I remember how that the time when I was going for a walk and I was struggling with many issues in my life, and I've always had struggles, I will say that. But the Lord has always been there. And I remember how He used a fawn and a deer, her mother deer, one time to encourage me as I was walking along this path, and how that I was probably at the lowest ebb of how I was feeling at that point, at that moment, and how I was thinking and feeling and what I was going through, and oh boy. But right at that moment, I happened upon a deer along this path. I was on my way to an old spring flowing out of the side of a hill, a sort of a refuge that I wanted to go to, and just to wash my face, to drink, to rest, and to just sit there and look over the cliff. And before I got there, I remember how that this mother deer and her fawn were drinking water. And the mother deer looked up, and she almost immediately, well, she looked at me for about 10 seconds, and then she reeled around and took off. But the little fawn, I remember the fawn looking back this way at her mother, but then the little fawn came up to me and went around my legs, and I was petting this, you know, wild, I'm sure others have had that experience, but I was petting this wild fawn out there with all these white speckles. It must have been going around my legs about 5-6 times, and I was petting it and leaning up against me like a dog would, you know. It was really neat. And then it took off, and it turned around, and it made a little calving noise, and then it took off after its mother. And I tell you what, I felt so good after that. And I knew that the Lord was with me. I felt His presence for some reason, even though He used that situation. And the Lord is good. He just has a way of doing things like that for people. I know stubbornness and pride causes unrest. It's a stench before a holy and merciful God. If we read Isaiah 28:12, it says, "To whom He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." So what that tells me is that there are many people out there who are stubborn, full of pride, full of ego, full of themselves, full of reliance on money and things, so independent. And, you know, I don't believe God likes that. I don't believe that's God's best. I don't believe that would be where God would want us to stay. He would want us to forsake that. The Lord would want us to be dependent on Him. That we would lose our pride, lose our stubbornness, because truly it is a stench in the nostrils of God. It truly is. And there is no place in the kingdom of God for that to dwell. And I know that God would not have it to be that way. And so when we find rest and refreshing, the Lord said, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. So merciful and gracious is the Lord that he would do that. And this is the refreshing, and yet they would not hear. How terrible. How terrible. When you think about how those that were warned while they still lived on this earth, they were bid to come to the supper, but they would not because they had all these obligations. They had, some had just gotten married, one had an oxen, another had other cares. And how true it is today, how that we walk about and we're full of the cares of the world, full of this and full of that, and you know, we get so busy and so tied up with our jobs and so tied up with different affairs and situations in our lives that creep in and come upon us unawares oftentimes. Like a spider weaving a web. And truly, that is a trap. And that's a mistake. The thing that the Lord would want us to do truly here is to forsake all that, to make room for Him. And there would be a struggle to find time to spend with God. There is struggles, that is no lie. It takes effort these days to find time to spend with God, to be disciplined enough to do so, to find that time where we can get away, hear from God, read His Word, and seek His face. Be inspired by Him. Truly, without that inspiration, we don't know what to do. But it's the Lord who inspires us. It's the Lord who speaks to us in a still, small voice. Amid all the chaos, amid all the noise, amid all the storms, the Lord truly will speak to us if we give Him the time of day. It says here in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Wow. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, that says a lot, doesn't it? I know. The Lord is meek and lowly in heart. To find rest for our souls, we too need to learn of God, need to learn how He is, who He is, how He carried Himself. Meek and lowly, unassuming, not presumptuous, not weary. No. The Lord knows all things, and He wants us to rest in Him, to trust Him daily for our needs, to have faith and to believe. I know that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's what He wants us to do, to believe God in all things, to trust Him. He is meek and lowly. Meek and lowly means to trust, to obey, to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. You know, we see these pompous preachers, we see these pompous politicians, we see all of these people out there who go to these ball games or who are heavily into sports, like I used to be one time, and who think nothing of it at all. To swear and cuss, drink, smoke, to go to the ball games and or go to parties, the politicians, and or to receive all the glory if you're in the pulpit, using the bully pulpit to get your own way and to manipulate people. No. That's not God's way. No. The Lord is meek and lowly in heart. And who believe and trust do enter into the Lord's rest by faith. Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Wow. Revelation 14:13. And we know that the Lord will give us rest one day. For those that are serving Him, those that are right with Him, those that know Him, for those that He knows, the day is coming when henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. In other words, everything that we do is accounted for. Everything that we say will be accounted for. Every swear word, every gossip, every ill thought, unless we repent. Now is the time, while we still have a chance. Now is the day to repent, the Lord says. He wants us to repent before, while He still may be found of Him. We must repent. We must get right with God while there is time. Then, they that rest from their labors and their works do follow them. The Lord will give us that kind of rest, because truly it is a labor. Laborers are few. The harvest is ripe. There's always been very few laborers. There's always been only a few that had done the bulk of the work. And while the rest have taken a vacation, the rest of the people have decided that they don't have time. They don't want to be bothered by this. They don't want to be inconvenienced by giving a hand in the ministry or helping where they can. They don't want to be bothered by that. No, it's inconvenient. I want to rest. I want to do this, or I want to do that. They want to do their own thing instead of hearing the voice of God. No, that's not the way. No, the Lord is a servant. I remember Abraham Lincoln once said, "Serve like a king." How true that is. If we can learn how to serve like a king, we learn how to give from the deepest parts of our soul to the needs of others, even without expecting anything in return, even without expecting any applause, pat on the back, attaboy. No, 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 no. The Lord is meek and lowly. The Lord doesn't seek to be heard and seen all the time, no. He doesn't want us to feel that way either. He doesn't want us to think and feel like we ought to be heard and seen by everyone, no. In God's due time, He will make a way for that to happen. If we have something to share, if we have something to give, and if it's of God, the Lord will make a way for that. But you see, you can ask a person 1,000 different questions to 1,000 different people, they'll all have different answers. Every one of them. So here at John 10:9 it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Green pastures. They are full, they're free, they're healthy, where you find in many ways food and rest. But we're talking about spiritual pasture. We're talking about the spiritual pastures out there. We're talking about food that you not know. You don't normally, normal people don't know what food you have. I know that there's a scripture in the Word of God that it's not coming to me right now, talking about how that I have meat that ye know not of. And truly, the Lord wants us to steal away our time, to find pasture, to go out, to find rest in Him, to know of Him, to learn of Him, to become meek and lowly, to trust in Him, to become that man or woman of God, that child of God, to be all that we know to be. And those areas that we have need of, the Lord will help us to get there. But we've got to start somewhere. We've got to begin at one point, and He'll take us to the next. But we've got to put one step in front of the other and move forward by faith, trusting, believing, hoping, knowing that God is in control and that He will take us by the hand and lead us. He doesn't drive us. The devil drives us. People drive us. Businesses, corporations, bully pulpits, politicians, they drive you. No, it's not God's way. God's way is meek and lowly. And He'll help us to find those true green pastures where we can feed on Him and feed from His Spirit, feed from His Word. Know that God is in control. And if we just trust in Him, He will take us by the hand and lead us, not drive us. You see how people drive sheep? They drive cattle. They drive their animals wherever they want them to go. They oftentimes use whips. They'll holler at them. No, God's way is different. He leads us like a gentle lamb. Peace. He leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me beside still waters. The first word that comes to me is peace when I think of this. John chapter 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. Well, that tells me a lot. That tells me that even though I'm at work, I'm on my job, even though I'm running errands or I've got to get over here quickly, I've got to do this and oh boy, I've got to do that. And if I don't, oh boy, if I don't, watch out. If I don't, then there's trouble ahead. If I don't, I'm going to disappoint people. There's pressures on every side. But the Lord says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, the world is full of fear, isn't it? The world is full of fear. They give you that fear bomb every day. Well, we know that North Korea and South Korea are banging heads right now. Their horns are locking right now. We know that North Korea has threatened all-out war in the most severest form if South Korea and America do their battle drills out at sea in territorial waters. If they go into their waters, there will be an all-out war. Well, that's the way of the world, isn't it? War, trouble on every side. But the Lord says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, we know that there's trouble on earth. But where is our hope? Where is our faith? Where is our trust? Who do we lean on when there's trouble? I remember Pastor David J. Meyer had mentioned many times before and how that he said and mentioned that I know and you will know who your God is when you go to when your time of trouble comes. Who will you go to and pray to? Who will you go to in your time of trouble? If God is your God, the one true holy God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you will go to Him. You'll pray to Him, and you'll seek His face. John 16:33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, we know that we are in the end times. We know that God is in control. We know that the governments around the world are conniving and scheming. They're planning. They're looking for any opportunity in any way to bring forth their evil agendas, to bring forth the one world order, to bring forth the mark of the beast, to bring forth their evil plans to put the whole world in darkness through deceit, through lies, through force even. And boy, there's a lot of that going on today. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He leadeth me beside still waters." Through all of this, He wants us to have peace. He wants us to rely on Him. That is peace. Peace in knowing that there is one that no matter what happens, He's going to take us through it. He is going to help us get there. He's not mum, He's not deaf, and He's not blind. But He is the one true God that we can count on, knowing that He will deliver us in the time of need. His train is always on time. And no matter what we go through, like a rock, He is always there. Like a rock, like the mountain that we can go to at the foot of the mountain, knowing that God on Mount Sinai is still there, in charge, in control. Story of the rock, in fact, here, matter of fact, that the ship, I just want to mention this, about a ship that was wrecked in a furious storm, and the only survivor was a little boy who was swept by the waves onto a rock. He sat there all night long until the next morning. He was spotted and rescued Did you tremble while you were on the rock during the night? Someone later asked him. Yes, said the boy. I trembled all night long. I was oftentimes cold, fearful, but the rock didn't. The rock never moved. And how true it is in our own lives. We go through life, we go through troubles, tribulations. We don't know where it's coming from oftentimes. We don't know what to think, how to react to it. The devil wants us to get into a position where we have knee-jerk reactions instead of resting on the rock, instead of waiting on God, instead of having that peace that only He can give to the deepest part of our soul. It's that peace that Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How true that is. So we know that Jesus is the rock. We know that Jesus is the true shepherd. We know that Jesus will lead us. He will never fail. He said, in fact, that He would never leave us nor forsake us. We have that hope. We have that trust, knowing that God is in control of our lives. He's in control of your job. He's in control of your marriage. He's in control when you're traveling. He's in control of your children. He knows all that's going on. He sees everything. He's no respecter of persons. So you don't have to think or feel that God won't hear me. God won't look upon this situation and have pity. God won't be merciful or gracious. No, 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 no. Remember, the Lord is meek and lowly. We are to learn of Him. So gracious, so kind, so merciful. That's our God. There is no God like unto Him. Matthew 8:24-26, it says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Wow. You know, here's some disciples that have been with Jesus all that time, and they still became fearful, knowing that God, Jesus Christ, their Savior, was in that boat, asleep and at peace. He was not worried. There was no searching in His understanding about things. He was not fearful. No. No, He was God. He is God. And the Lord woke up and said, "O ye of little faith." Oftentimes, we have little faith. Oftentimes, we go through life and a storm hits us full on. We become fearful. We become fearful about not having enough money, not having a right relationship. Wondering, okay, when I get in my car, when I travel to another state, am I going to be safe? Am I going to be safe if I drive at night? Am I going to be safe if I go here, if I go there? No. We don't have to worry about all that. Although, the Lord doesn't want us to tempt Him beyond reason. No, we are to take things into consideration, seek the Lord, be at peace about things. And that is true. But if we must, we are not to be afraid. If the Lord wants us to go somewhere, We are not to question Him, to be fearful, to be afraid. The Lord wanted His disciples to see as He rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. There was such a calm that they could hardly believe it. And they asked, "Who is this man that even the waves of the sea would obey Him?" Well, that's our God. That's Jesus Christ. That is the God of all peace in a world run amok with violence, with crime, in a world confused, drunk, stumbling about, running around, not knowing where to go, what to do, how even to act, the things to say. But God, the God of all peace, will lead us as He leads His sheep, gently, leading, guiding the way, like in the dark, flashlight in hand. You can clearly see the beam. You can clearly see where you're going, even in the dark. And you know that the Lord is with us, even in the dark, even in the darkest hours of our life. He is with us. In 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 and 12, we read about the still small voice. And He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." Can you imagine that? That must have been quite the storm, quite the wind that would break the rocks in pieces. Can you imagine that? Hurricane force winds. "But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. No, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." No, in all this chaos, in all this noise of life, in all that we're going through, we know that God, in His still, small voice, will speak to us and lead us and guide us in the right way. We have not to worry or need to wonder, will the Lord speak to us? Will the Lord hear us? Will the Lord show us the way? The Lord wants us to have faith, and He'll rebuke the winds. He'll rebuke all that noise for you. But all we need to do is listen for that still, small voice. "He restoreth my soul." Well, to me, that speaks well of healing and restoration. "He restoreth my soul." Luke chapter 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Well, not everyone can be a preacher. Not everyone can get up in front of people and sing songs, and I do struggle with that, believe me. Everyone is called to do this. We are all called to get together, to come together, pray, seek the Lord, go out into the streets, into the highways, and into the byways to compel them to come in. The Lord bid them to come, but those rich, those busy would not come. No. But the Lord restoreth my soul. He wants us to bring healing and peace to those lives who are ruined, who are broken, who are diseased, who are maimed, who have no hope, who wonder if God even exists. What are we going to do about it? He restoreth my soul. Are we to be that conduit? Are we to be an extension of who the Lord is in our life, to that in the lives of others? Are we to be that light in the dark world? Yes, I think so. That's what the Lord would have us do. The Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Anyone can preach to the poor if we will just allow God to use us. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are we doing that in the lives of those around us? Are we seeking those people out if they come our way? Are we empathetic? Do we have pity upon them? Do we look upon them with compassion? Do we see the heart of the matter? Or are we so involved in our own life that we can't see, that we can't feel, that we can't hear? Are we then an extension of what the Lord wants us to do in the lives of others in this hurting world? To preach deliverance to the captives, those that are held captive, those that are held captive in witchcraft, in sorcery, Wiccans, the whole lot of them. Those that are captives in their own imaginations. Those that are captive to drug use. Those that are captive to homosexuality. Those that are held captive by their own mistakes, thinking they have to get an abortion, thinking they have to do this or have to do that to make it right. And in God's eyes, it is an abomination. What are we doing to be an extension of God's restoring the people's soul? What are we doing? How can we be used for God's glory? And recovering of sight to the blind. Well, what is he talking about? Well, yeah, people have blind eyes in the physical, but people need to see spiritually. People need to know that there is a God who heals, who has mercy, who has grace, is calling them, is bidding them to the supper. It's our job to get out there and plant that seed. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Well, there's a lot of bruised people out there, aren't there? We live in the end times. The time of the summer fruit. The time where people are easily bruised and offended. People would just as soon rather walk away and have nothing more to do with you, even if you look at them wrong. No. But we are to be Christ-like. We are to have thick skin. And we are to go about in a hurting world to be ambassadors for Christ. To do the right thing, all that is right and good in His sight. I've only got maybe 1 minute left. I don't know, the green light's still on, so I have a little bit of time here. Isaiah chapter 53, 5 and 6. But he that was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wow. Praise God. We know that the Lord went to the cross of Calvary and took upon Him the sins of the whole world, our transgressions, our iniquities. By His stripes, when they thronged Him with that whip, 39 throngs, they whipped Him, and they whipped Him, and they marred Him, and they hurt Him, and they bruised Him in such a manner that He was not even recognizable to the common man anymore. People couldn't recognize Him. He was beaten so bad. But He took that upon Himself in our place. Now that's mercy. That's grace. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Wow. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Even after all that the Lord has done in our lives, we have walked away from God. Even after all that we have seen the Lord do for us, in us, with us, yet people have gone astray. People have backslidden and turned their back on God's mercy. But God would not have it so among us as believers, to never turn back, to appreciate His mercy, to not walk on the blood of Jesus, no, but to respect what He has done on the cross, to walk circumspectly before God and man, to walk in such a way worthy of being called a Christian, to be grateful and thankful like the man who finally came back after 9 of them never came back that were healed, but this one man came back, got on his knees and thanked God. And all those others went their way with the cares of the world, busy, not caring, wanting to live for today. I've got somewhere I want to go. I want to go to a restaurant. I want to go with my friend. I want to do this. I want to do that. No. That's not God's way. That should not be our way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Oh, we all have iniquities in our lives. And thank God there is a God in heaven who will take that away from us. That we can go to the cross, get on our knees, and thank God. Ask Him to forgive us and to lead us in the way that is right and good. To lead us in the way that is prosperous spiritually. To lead us in the way that leads to hope. To lead us in a way that brings peace. To lead us in a way that brings healing and restoration to the soul. To lead us in such a manner that when men look at us, they see a peculiar person. They see someone who is different from them. They don't go along with the ways of the world. They're different. They pray. They dress differently. They act differently. They talk differently. They think differently. They do all these things differently. Who are they? I want what they have. Well, that man, that woman, they have peace. They have joy. They have the Spirit of God upon them. Nothing seems to bother them. The Lord is with them. They trust in Him. They pray to Him. They seek His face. What do they have that I don't have? But whatever it is, I want that. I want that. That's the Lord working in our lives. And I wrote down here something too. The shepherds are to bring healing. He affirms the sheep rather than being critical. He encourages the sheep rather than discouraging them. He instructs rather than condemning them. He speaks blessing rather than cursing. He protects them rather than feeding them to the wolves. He gathers them together with a flock rather than scattering them in the wilderness. Amen. Amen. And praise God to that. Well, our time is about up. And until next time, I'm going to have to go to part two on this message. And with that, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O God in heaven, we thank you, O God, that you have been with us, that you are able to strengthen us, that you lead us and guide us, that your hand of mercy and grace and peace, O Father God, we can have in our own lives if we just yield unto thee. If we put our hope, our faith, our trust, and our confidence in your word, in your spirit, the two witnesses, O God in heaven, we know that then you will be with us. We know that we can have confidence and all will be well. You are God and there is no God like unto thee, the true one God. We put our hope and trust in all your ways in this wicked world. We know, O God, that there is no other that we can hope to or trust in. We know, O God, that with your mercy and grace, that there is always hope. We know, O Lord, that where the blood of Christ is, there is healing and restoration. We know that where Jesus is, there is life. We know, O God, that where you are, we want to be. We praise you right now. We hope in you. We put our faith and trust in you, O God. Ask that you would be with us today and tomorrow and this coming week. We praise your holy name for it, O God, and let us seek to glorify thy name. And let us rebuff and rebuke the devil and the enemy in our lives, that we would have victory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.